NTSB is in Dubai after a UPS 747 goes down. UAVs prepare to take over a dangerous mission. And in some regions, airline demand is growing too fast. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, September 7th, 2010. A United Parcel Service 747-400 freighter went down shortly after takeoff from Dubai Friday after the crew reported heavy smoke in the cockpit. Both crew members were fatally injured. The plane was en route to the UPS hub in Cologne, Germany, when it went down about noon Eastern time on Friday. The crew was unable to return to Dubai. The plane went down in an unpopulated area near a military base in the United Arab Emirates. There were no reports of injuries to people on the ground. UPS has confirmed the identities of the crew, Captain Doug Lampe of Louisville, Kentucky, and First Officer Matthew Bell of Sanford, Florida. UPS says the 747 was only 3 years old, had logged just under 10,000 hours, and was up to date on maintenance, having been through a major inspection in June. GE, which built the engines, has accompanied an NTSB team to Dubai. Hurricane Earl turned out to be a wuss, but he did provide a historic opportunity. NASA reports that on Thursday, it made history as it put a global hawk over Earl, marking the first time the unmanned drone flew over a fully formed hurricane. The drone was accompanied by a manned DC-8 operated by NASA. Both planes are outfitted with a suite of highly advanced instruments that scientists hope will bring new insight into how hurricanes form and intensify. The hurricane season is far from over. The UAV initiative, called the Genesis and Rapid Intensification Processes Experiment, or GRIP, will continue through September 25th. Because of Global Hawk's 30-hour endurance, it can remain directly over a storm to make high-quality measurements far longer than a manned plane or a satellite. Airline traffic in the U.S. is running below 2009 levels, but in some other parts of the world, it's growing rapidly. The International Air Transport Association says that in the Middle East, it's up 19.4% year-to-year over the first 7 months of 2010, a pace it calls unsustainable. About 80% of the airspace in the region is reserved by the military, compounding the growing pains. Emirates already operates 12 Airbus A380s and has 72 more on order. Dubai's Al Maktoum International Airport is now up and running. And Abu Dhabi has announced construction of a $7 billion international airport to help meet traffic demands. The issues will be addressed at the second annual Air Traffic Control Optimization Summit, November 1st and 2nd in Dubai. Among the topics on the agenda will be better cooperation among military and civilian air traffic control agencies. Up next on ANN, a U.S. firm buys Sukhoi Superjets. Simcom is ready to train Eclipse pilots in Florida. And Jeppesen now has airport data for Russia. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 7th. I'm Paul Plack. Willis Lease Finance Corporation, a U.S.-based aircraft leasing company, says it has signed a memorandum of understanding with Superjet International for the purchase of six Sukhoi Superjet 100 aircraft, plus four options. The deal is worth an estimated $300 million. The planes will be configured for 98 seats, with first delivery scheduled for September of 2012. Superjet is a partnership between Europe and the Russian Federation. Alenia Aeronautica owns 25% plus one share of Sukhoi Civil Aircraft, the Sukhoi unit developing the jet, as well as 51% of Superjet International, which is handling its sales. The remainder of Superjet International is controlled by Sukhoi. It's hoped that the SSJ-100 will serve as a catalyst to start to rebuild the Russian aviation sector, which has been in decline since the fall of the Soviet Union. Eclipse Aerospace and Simcom Training Centers report the FAA has awarded Level D certification for the Eclipse EA-500 full-motion simulators located in Orlando, Florida. SIMCOM has also received FAA approval for its Eclipse 500 pilot training program that includes initial, recurrent, differences, and mentor training. Eclipse 500 pilots will be able to schedule factory-approved training provided by SIMCOM as early as next month. Jeppesen says it's reached agreement with the Russian Ministry of Transportation on a contract that supplies Jeppesen with access to Russian domestic airport data. The company already had access to Russian domestic airway system data and says it can now provide a complete Russian flight information solution and help enable the transition from paper to electronic charting information on the flight deck for Russian operators. The information about the Russian domestic airway system and domestic airports may only be used by operators registered in the Russian Federation. There's a procedure in place for foreign operators to receive permission to use domestic airports and airways of the Russian Federation if required for flight operations. Still ahead, if you want a federal job you'll like, choose carefully. NASA lets you follow that next mission on the iPad. And maggots or knives are fine, but no dead bacteria. You're listening to Aeronews.
Freedom through performance. At Cirrus, performance is not simply the measurement of a single design parameter. Rather, it's a total package. It's optimum balance of speed, efficiency, comfort, safety, ease of flight, and quality. We call it Cirrus Flying 2.0. Aren't you ready to feel the freedom?
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, September 7th. I'm Paul Plack. If you're looking for a good federal job, you may want to see what's available at NASA. The Partnership for Public Service has issued its 2010 ratings for the best places to work in the federal government. It's the fifth such survey, and NASA has been rated in the top five in four of the surveys and the sixth in the other. The data used to develop the rankings were based on the Office of Personnel Management's Employee Viewpoint Survey. About 260,000 employees at 290 departments and agencies were surveyed. In addition to the overall index, there are also workplace environment categories. NASA was among the leaders in effective leadership, support for diversity, teamwork, training, and performance-based rewards. By comparison, the FAA ranked 187th. TSA was fifth from the bottom at 220th. NASA has updated its application for the iPhone and iPod Touch to take advantage of the larger screen on the Apple iPad. NASA App HD features live streaming video from NASA television, an interactive map with links to all the agency's field centers, quick links to feature stories and launch schedules, a scrolling alerts banner, and a NASA featured link. The first featured link focuses on women in space. It also enables users to experience and search updated, higher-resolution NASA Image of the Day and Astronomy Picture of the Day collections and agency videos on demand. The application is available free of charge, both from NASA and at the App Store from Apple. And finally today, TSA recently let a man from Yemen on a United flight with timers and cell phones bundled together and some taped to a plastic bottle, large knives, and a box cutter in his checked bag. Screeners in Atlanta also recently allowed a passenger on a U.S. Airways flight with a piece of spoiled meat teeming with maggots, which then dripped down from the overhead bin onto other passengers. But about 9 p.m. Thursday night, TSA detained a 70-year-old scientist from Ross University in the Caribbean and evacuated six concourses at Miami International Airport because the man had what screeners said they thought was a pipe bomb. It turned out to be a canister used to carry dead bacteria for medical testing. The London Telegraph reports the man had reportedly been on a teaching assignment in Saudi Arabia and had flown into Miami late Thursday. USA Today reports he was described by the FBI as very cooperative and was released without being charged. The airport was reopened by 4 a.m. Friday in time for that day's first scheduled departures. The adjacent Miami International Airport Hotel, which is near the main terminal, was also evacuated and returned to normal operations sometime Friday morning. I'm sure glad we have our priorities straight. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves talks about GA cockpit fires and what we need to remember if we encounter one. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.